Hey, so today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and for some people, this is kind of a loaded day. It feels pretty challenging. There's a focus on unborn life, and there needs to be, because abortion is definitely a real painful thing that happens to many, many people. There's men and women that sit in here right now among you that have been a part of that. They're what's called post-abortive. Myself, my story has definitely got a lot of that in it. My mother was pregnant before she was pregnant with me, and she ended that pregnancy and ended that life in abortion. And then after I was born, she had another abortion. And so here's what I want to say to you. I'm not here to shame you. Nobody is. We're here to say that there's love and there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. But I make no apologies to say that life is precious. It's sanctified. It's holy. And we have so many people who get marginalized. Now, if we get away from the fact that babies have been aborted, we could get to people who have mental illness or some disability, and people just want them out of the way. And then you get into being older and like significantly older and maybe even needing care, and many people want them out of the way. Life is holy and pure and a gift from God, and we want to make much of that. So in 1985, I was 14 years old, and my then girlfriend, now wife, was 15. And on January 18th, we had our baby girl, Genesis. I did not know what to do as a little 14-year-old. And at one point, I was looking through the phone book for abortion clinics. And Kathy's parents had a little sticker and on their slider, their sliding door, that had what was the outline of a baby that would have been in the womb. And then on the other side, the profile of an older person, and it said, "Life is precious." And God used that sticker to save my daughter's life. But it's hard. It's been hard. It's been challenging. We got to celebrate her birthday. Sorry, I told everybody that you're 34. All right. But I've been processing that a lot. And we want you to know that there is not only help and hope, there's a way through because of the love and life of Jesus Christ. And so would you welcome up two friends of mine? They're going to tell you about ways that we can be involved in helping, not just pointing fingers or saying this is bad and wrong. This is Mary and Kathy. Would you give them a hand, please? Thank you. Thanks, Kathy.
Hello, my name is Mary Mead.
And I'm Kathy Hewlett.
The Bible clearly demonstrates that every human life is valuable and precious to God. Psalm 22, 9 through 10 says, "Yet you brought me out of the womb, you made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you, from my mother's womb you have been my God."
So today we are speaking on behalf of CareNet of Puget Sound. And as Pastor Aaron said, today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And every life is precious. CareNet is a pregnancy resource center that offers hope through compassionate, practical care and life-affirming resources related to pregnancy, sexual integrity, and abortion recovery. CareNet has locations all over throughout King and Pierce County.
Our family has personally known people who have been helped and supported through CareNet's services, and we strongly believe in how they come alongside mothers and their babies to meet their physical and, when possible, spiritual needs. Over 14,000 patients and clients were served by CareNet of Puget Sound in 2017. All of the services are offered at no cost and are always caring and confidential. 96% of women who saw their unborn child via ultrasound chose life. as God's people, we can each do something to help, not only unborn babies, but also their mothers and their families, before, during, and after their pregnancies. We can also minister to post-abortive women in our midst with God's love and forgiveness. I know there have been times in my family's life we have needed support during a pregnancy. And you, Crosswater, you came alongside us, you prayed with us, you helped us. This is a great opportunity for our church to be able to provide compassion and encouragement for any person who needs love and support as they face a new pregnancy. I would like to thank you for letting us come and briefly speak with you today. We want to share a few facts about CareNet with you. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Sunday worship, for your financial and prayer support, and for individual CareNet volunteers, some who may be sitting here right now. Volunteers are the heartbeat of our ministry.
Each of CareNet's 7 pregnancy centers here in Puget Sound need volunteers to run effectively. And in CareNet of Puget Sound, there are only 40 employees, and there's 7 centers, but there's over 400 volunteers, and every volunteer is important. CareNet is also community supported. We receive no government funding, therefore we minister by the Lord's grace and your monetary gifts. There are so many ways that you can help, from becoming a financial partner by giving a little bit every month, to praying faithfully for us, to becoming a volunteer, actually maybe even volunteering at one of the pregnancy centers, or in your community on behalf of CareNet, or with our mobile unit that travels around. So we know each person's interests and gifts vary, and CareNet has a wide range of volunteer opportunities, and they're both for women and men. So here's just a few. The SMART programs are preventable talks where people go out into the schools to teach kids about sexual risk and sex trafficking avoidance and sexual dignity. The men's ministry is really growing right now, and it's working with young fathers to equip them to take an active role in supporting life. Our parenting programs help parents prepare in practical and foundational ways. And our Healing Tides ministry, a very important ministry, is for post-abortive women. And it doesn't matter how long time has passed. So women of all ages are welcome to Healing Tides. And our new mobile unit will be serving populations in all of our East Side communities. And then, of course, there are lots of volunteer opportunities in the actual pregnancy centers. And we have a list of all of those locations for you at our table in the back.
We invite in all those who have a heart for teaching young mothers and fathers about parenting, helping post-abortive women with God's love and forgiveness, and studying His Word, assisting with special events for fundraising, maintenance skills, and supplying our boutique in each center with diapers and clothes. These ways and more are always needed. You can be a part of life-giving change. It doesn't take much time, and you can choose what fits your schedule. Please meet us after service in the cafe. We will answer any questions you may have. We have a sign-up sheet that gives you the option to explore the volunteer opportunities. We will be running a baby bottle campaign for the next 4 weeks. It's very simple. Just pick up a baby bottle after service and fill it up with loose change, cash, or a check, and bring it back to Crosswater between now and February 10th. It's that easy. Those baby bottles of change will make real change in babies' and mama's lives. Thank you so much for participating.
Thank you for allowing us to share with you today. So in closing, I'd like to read Psalm 102:18. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord.
Amen. Thanks so much, you guys. Thank you. Thank you. please do head out there and visit them after service. We are going to get going. We're just near the beginning of this series called Jesus is Here. We know that Jesus is for everybody. If you didn't know that, then he loves you. He wants you. He's not just for people that look like you, feel like you, sound like you, or look like other people who have it all together. Because as a matter of fact, nobody has it all together. You don't have to look to your neighbor and say, you're a hot mess. But you know what? Your neighbor is a hot mess. And we all need help. And that's okay. That's real. And so I want to let you know, I have a lot to cover and really a short amount of time. So I'm just going to get to it. Every human except Adam and Eve started as a baby. You ever thought about that? Every human started as a baby. For some people, it was a surprise and a shock and a joy. Some people, it was a surprise and a shock and dreaded. Some people have felt and have been told their whole lives they're a mistake. They're not. God loves you and he wants you. And we've read in the book of Luke that nothing is impossible with God. If life starts as babies, and our Savior started as a baby, and the forerunner for him, this great prophet that had been spoken of for years and years, hundreds of years actually, if he started as a baby, then life has purpose and life has meaning. And I want to encourage you with that. And to be able to do that, I want to go to the story of two impossible births. So if you don't remember, if you weren't a part of this, there was a woman named Elizabeth who was very old, well advanced in years, is a nice way to say very old, and she was barren. She hadn't had any children. And then there was a young lady, Mary, who was her cousin, actually, or a relative of hers, who was a virgin. And she was told by an angel that she was going to give birth to the Savior of the world. So I don't know if you know this. Let's keep score real quick. Impossible would be old and barren, but having a baby. But it already happened. There is precedent in the Bible for that. But that was happening. And then a young virgin, somebody who had not had sex, was going to be pregnant. And indeed, the baby was going to be God's very own son, Jesus. And so we're looking at these two impossible births. There's nothing impossible with God. If you don't have a Bible, we have some underneath your seats. They're for you. If you got a chance to get that journal, that Luke journal, have you been reading it and have you been writing in it? Anybody? If you have been, will you show me just like your hand? Oh, yeah, you've been holding it up. Nice. So a little surprise for some of you who didn't get one. We have some more coming. Not a lot. So when you hear about it and when you see it, come and snag it. Don't try and sell it. It's a gift. It's a gift. Okay, so I want to go straight to this guy, Zechariah. Zechariah was the father of John. He was a priest. He showed up on the one time in his life as a priest where he would be able to go in and be at the prayer altar. And he went there and he saw an angel. And the angel said, hey, don't be afraid. Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to give birth to a baby boy, and his name's John, and he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And as a priest, he would have known all this. And instead of totally being able to go, yeah, right on, he's like, how's this going to happen? I'm old, and my wife is old, and she's never had no baby. Or maybe she had, but they'd been miscarriages. Whatever his story was, he's like, And God said through the angel, you're going to be quiet. Yeah, zip it. And my friend pointed out to me this week in an email that, do you see the grace of God that he didn't say, hey, Mary, you had a question about being a virgin and having babies? Your mouth shut for 9 months. Could you imagine that? Trying to explain. Oh, God is good. All right, so here we go. We're going to pick up the story with the birth of this precious baby, John, who grew up. And so, again, if you don't have Bibles, we've got them for you, or it's up on the screen. It's going to be Luke 1:57, and away we go. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. Wouldn't this be great that every baby would be considered a blessing? and celebrated as such. You are and they are. God bless you. Okay. Yeah, as if I'm done. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. If you've been taking notes, it's kind of cool because she didn't get told this by the angel. Her mute husband was told this. Somehow mute husband passed on the good news. Hey, this baby's going to be John. How cool. Can't keep it to himself even if he was mute. Some of you are like, mute? You should give that a shot, Aaron. Not right now. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. You know what it's like. You got people that are like, really? You're going to name him that? In this very room, we've had lots of different weddings. At weddings, people always want to tell the bride and groom how their wedding should go, especially if they're paying for it. So you know what it's like to be in community. People really like to get in and involved. So this is what I've been able to do before we even get started on a wedding. I'll get everybody together, and I'll say, hey, you guys, thank you so much for being here at this rehearsal. They love you. They wanted you to be a part of this, but they've already got it figured out on how they want to do their wedding. So nobody needs to tell them how to do it. If they ask for help, that's wonderful. If they don't, please don't stress them out any more than they already are. This is a high point in their life, but they're right here at stress, right? So please don't. And if you still are like, yeah, but I want to do this, then great. Renew your vows or get married yourself. Not a lot of people enjoy that speech, except the bride and groom, who is why I did that. And so the point of that whole story is to say, when we have people in our lives, it can be messy. They're trying to, John, why would you call him John? There's nobody named John in your family. Well, here's the story. Did you want to hear of a lovely lady? Because that just came to my mind just now. All right. And so they said, made signs to his father. This really fascinated me the last few weeks. He wasn't deaf. He was mute. Maybe he had something happen as this transitioned, or maybe they just got tired and like, what do you think? And he's like, give me a tablet. And he wrote on it, his name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid up in their hearts saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. They had never heard of anything like this before. They'd never seen it, at least. And they're like, this is an amazing child. I want to tell you something. We get a great lesson from Zechariah here. Faith opens your mouth. Faith opens your mouth. When you and I have faith, it opens our mouth. Faith in anything. Because we do have faith in stuff. We may have faith in that bad stuff's always going to happen. So we're going to talk about that. We may have faith in a car. We may have faith in a job. We may have faith in money. We may have faith in Jesus. We may have faith in the good news of Jesus Christ, and it'll open our mouth. Let me say it one more time, really simply. We all preach. What are you preaching about? What's your faith in? This guy finally got a chance to have his tongue loosed, and faith opened his mouth. And watch what happened. You guys, do you remember? We just read it. What was the first thing he did when his mouth was open after 9 months? Yeah, he blessed God. Now, that's an interesting phrase, and we're about to read him say, bless the Lord. It's not like God is needing anything. You don't have to bless God like he's just a little bit short, so let's bless him. He's the source of blessing. He's the blesser. He is the greatest state of blessing. When you say, bless the Lord, you're acknowledging him as the blessing. You're acknowledging him as the source of blessing. You're acknowledging him and you're grateful, and it's praise. And watch what happens to his dad, to John's dad, when he opens his mouth. His father Zechariah, verse 67, was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. He went from being a priest to a prophet. This is pretty rad. He's growing up and he was old. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. How does he know that? Let's dig into this really quick. How does he know that he has visited and redeemed his people?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Amen. What else? Do you remember what happened when he went into the temple? God visited, right? It was angel time. What else? Anything else maybe his wife would have told him about or he would have witnessed? Hey, let's get into the Bible, y'all. Luke 1. Mary shows up to see Elizabeth. She's pregnant, by the way. God visits and redeems his people. He pays for his people. Mary shows up to see Elizabeth. And what was Elizabeth's response? Yeah, her baby leapt in her womb. She was filled with the Spirit. And she said, who am I that the mother of my Lord would even come and see me? God redeems. And that's the first thing. Zechariah starts going off about how rad God is. But when your mouth gets open, wouldn't that be the first thing? Wouldn't that be beautiful? Not, you know how bad my feet hurt? You know how bad my husband has been with coming home on time? Do you know that my kids are just a train wreck? What if we actually open our mouths to praise God first before we did anything else? How about a no what if? How about we just start doing that? What a great invitation. Okay. So God's visited and redeemed his people, and he raised up a horn of salvation for us. That's this power, the sign of salvation in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, this has been talked about for a long time, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. God has redeemed. He's shown his power so we could love him without fear and we could be holy and we could serve. I don't make this stuff up. Love God, love others, serve generously. Aaron Day didn't make that up. It's straight out of here. It's who Jesus is. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the fact that God loves us and wants us, and he's redeemed us. And he's shown up. Jesus is here. Not just a title. That's legit. So now he transitions into talking about his own story. And you, child, verse 76, he's talking to his own baby boy, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness. Can we just hear that for a second? The dark situations of our lives, the bright sun of Jesus Christ will shine on it. Are you going to draw the blinds? Are you going to shield your eyes? Are you going to be like, come on now. I'm in the shadow of death and you're bringing the light? Yes, please. This is to guide our feet into the way of peace. This is such a profound word. Love how it just ends right here. And the child grew and became strong in spirit. And he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. More on John later is what that's saying, but he grew up. He grew in the spirit because babies grow up. Now let's go to the birth of our Savior. Now I know that this is very familiar for many of you. I know that for some of you, you could say, man, that was Christmas, dude. We already took down the decorations. It's okay. This story plays year round. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. Caesar Augustus, the king of the world at that time, is using his kingship and his authority to gather together all of his subjects to tax them. Because he wanted not just a bigger palace and more stuff, but he wanted a bigger army. And he puts this in place. So you got king, governor, and they all went to be registered in each in his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So was Mary, by the way, but you don't catch that in Luke. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. What a bummer trip that would be. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This really quick point, and Mike McKinley, I give a shout out to him. He's a pastor. He wrote a book called Luke for You. It's a study book on the book of Luke. He says, notice the downward spiral of power and influence in these first verses. King, governor, guy, girl, baby. In our world, babies, though they're influential in our schedule and influential in our lives, they don't have the influence. We have to carry them around. We do that to them. The biggest one would be a world leader. But all of them were underneath the authority of God, even if they didn't recognize it. Although we know that both Mary and Joseph recognize it. And Jesus, this baby, the most humble of that whole group, is God of all. And yet he humbled himself. What rights are you hanging on to? Jesus knows what it's like to be humble. Luke 2, 8 through 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Most likely, they were watching and taking care of sheep that would be used for sacrifice in Jerusalem. Super cool. What a great tie-in, right? The Lamb of God is born and these shepherds right there. And shepherds were like marginalized. Talk about the sanctity of human life. Their lives were not as honored as other people's. They had become this kind of necessary nuisance. And so God shows up to them. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people, church. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This really cracks me up. Verse 12. "And this will be a sign for you." What else would I need if an angel showed up, right? But God is gracious. He doesn't just say it kinda. He doesn't just say it profoundly. He says it often. He gives a sign to them. "You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." I don't know if they had to go, "What? Hold on. Savior of the world? Baby? I know you said born, but wow. God, as a baby." "And suddenly, there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts." So not only did these guys see their first angel, they saw a bunch of them. "And they're praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, with which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste," that means quickly, "and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." They couldn't keep it to themselves. They're like, "Oh, we're part of this story too?" "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." She'll be doing quite a bit of that. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." They could not keep it to themselves. Do you? Do you keep the good news to yourself? Does it feel like good news? Is it worth sharing? Verse 21. "At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, He was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Yeshua, Savior, Lord, Anointed One. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Okay, look, there's a little note here. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. This was a shout out to God providing. The firstborn that he had saved way back in the Passover was to be committed to God. And you would do this exchange where they would commit him to the Lord, but then they would give a sacrifice and their baby gets to come back and they raise this firstborn male. And they're all supposed to raise him to know Yahweh and to follow him. And they were poor. They couldn't do a full lamb. They had to do two turtle doves or two pigeons. And they were following God, and there was this purification rite that had to happen 33 days after a woman gave birth. Now it was a little bit longer if they gave birth to a girl. And they do this. They follow the law. They're good, godly people. And they want to honor God. And they want to dedicate their baby to the Lord, even though he is, in fact, the Lord. Wow. They didn't consider that something to be hung on to. Look, verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. They were doing that because Jesus is here. Let me give you a little bit about what Jesus is here looks like in the passage that we're about to read, but in our lives today. Would you consider this? Jesus being here means salvation. Salvation isn't a thing. He's a person. It's a relationship with Yahweh through his perfect son. Jesus is here means fulfillment. Like your whole life can be fulfilled. You can see why you exist, why you were born, why you count, what your identity is. There's peace in the fact that Jesus is here today with us. Now it says, and we're about to read this, there's going to be rising and falling for many people. Jesus here means some people will be lifted up and some people who don't want him will be put down. There's worship in Jesus being here. There's indeed pierced souls. The favor of God on these people, especially Mary, was going to mean there's going to be pain. There's revelation for us from Jesus being here, a light to the Gentiles, glory for all of Israel's are about to read, and there's redemption. I'm not sure if you think about the word redemption much. I have been quite a bit lately. You know, he's like, you redeemed, I'm redeemed. Check this out. Redemption, the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. But there's also a second one. Here's a definition. The action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or the clearing of a debt. Jesus is redemption. Jesus is the Redeemer. And so we'll continue on in this, and you're going to hear about people who often get maligned and put off to the side, and they're older people, the elderly. They have lived their lives, they're near the end. In our culture, we struggle to honor older people. In a lot of cultures, like if you get too old and you need too much help, they have euthanasia. Sanctity of human life is for all lives. Homeless people, penthouse owners, people who are brilliant, people who aren't so sharp, people who are able-bodied and people who aren't. Life is precious to God. Watch how this gets unpacked. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He could not wait, and yet he had to, for the consolation, for Israel to be redeemed. Now, a lot of people thought that meant that somebody was going to come in and lop off the heads of the Romans and kick out these bad people. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, they were there for one reason. Simeon was there for a different reason. He took him up in his arms and blessed God. Can we just admit that this probably be a little bit weird? You show up to present your child and for her to be purified, which I need you to know this. She was super important, but she was a human being. She needed to be cleaned. And that's okay. That's okay to need help. It's okay to not be okay. Try not to pretend like you got it all together. But also don't find your identity in not having it all together. I encourage you to go back to the fulfillment that's found in Jesus. But here's what's up. They come in here to do this, and this old man comes and grabs their baby. What? That would be very interesting. And he says, Lord, now you're letting your servant, him, depart in peace. Now I can die. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. What was God's salvation? It's Jesus. See how this keeps going? This is great. The salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Savior. Now, in Jesus, we get to be this Israel. We get to be God's chosen people. We once were far and now we're in because of who Jesus is as we acknowledge him as Savior. Look, this guy waited and he was longing for the consolation of Israel. And he's like, the redemption's here. Salvation's here. I can check out now. I'm ready to go. Listen to this. It's an important thing. I want you to not miss this little speech that he gives. And his father and his mother, Jesus' father and mother, marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And the sword will pierce through your own soul also. The cross is in view here. Redemption wasn't free. Somebody paid the price for you, and his name is Jesus. So a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And as if that's not enough, here comes another older person. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, when they got married, and then as a widow until she was 84. Look, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting in prayer night and day. She was dialed in. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The hymn was Jesus. She was like, look, I've spent my whole life, really, since I was a widow, 7 years into my marriage. I've been here. I've been worshiping. I've been fasting. I've been praying. The redemption is here. Listen, life is precious and valuable. A gift from God. Please don't miss out on learning from people. Please don't miss out on what God wants to do in and through people. And remember this, if everybody started as a baby, babies grow up. How are we going to help them grow? How are we going to teach them? How are we going to lead them? So I want to show you the rest of this passage. It's just 2 verses, but it's a pretty big deal. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This child is Jesus, and he grew up. Some of you may be like, oh, where's the Egypt story? Luke, who did an orderly account, didn't include it for whatever reason. It doesn't change the fact that Jesus grew up. Next week, during our family meeting, we're going to talk about this boy, Jesus. This is the longest and really the only word on Jesus as a child in the Bible. It's about him missing in action, and they find him in the temple. So please read along with us, Luke 2, 41 through 52, next week. The favor of God was upon him. Well, yeah, Aaron, he was God. Good. Nice theology. Well done. He's also a man, and he needed the favor of God. And he got it. God is loving and gracious. If you're hearing his voice today, don't ignore him. Salvation is a person. His name is Jesus. And he changes everything for us. He changes how we see others. He changes how we see ourselves. He allows us to forgive and to be forgiven. If babies are precious and valuable, and old people are precious and valuable, then everybody in between is precious and valuable. That means we are precious and valuable. God made us on purpose for a purpose. That first purpose is to love him and to follow him. Jesus said, if you're tired and weary and burdened, come to me and I'll give you rest. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. This baby grew up and he taught and he gives life. And the enemy hates us and the world hates us, and we sometimes hate ourselves and hate others, but salvation is here because Jesus is here. Would you let him be the ruler, the leader, the redeemer of your life? Let's pray. In you, Jesus, we have all that we could ever hope for or imagine. So I pray in your precious name that we would take you serious, that we wouldn't just accommodate you on a Sunday or reach out to you on a day where we're having all the wheels fall off, but we would love you and follow you. Always, you're the consolation, you're the redemption, you're the hope, you are our fulfillment, you are the one to worship. Thank you for John being born and for using him and that he would be the forerunner for you, and I look forward to learning more about him. But Jesus, we see from angelic proclamations, we see from shepherds blurting out the news, we see from Simeon and Anna that you are the Savior. We don't want to miss you. We don't want to forget you. Have your way in us. May we submit to you if we haven't. May we walk with you if we're struggling. And may we celebrate you in the highs and lows of life. I pray this in your precious name. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you next week.